Good evening. Just the entire tzibur. Some of the chaver asked me to speak on the topic of Shmiras Einayim, which is, needless to say, a very sensitive topic. But as I was coming up just now, someone mentioned to me that it's a topic that we don't speak about enough. And he's right, it's true. It's a hard topic, it's a sensitive topic. It's a topic that anyone who's speaking about the topic feels uncomfortable, because at every stage of life we have different forms of struggles with this. You know, a person knows his own shortcomings in these matters, so it's not... I'm not saying this just as a formality, meaning this is a part of the struggle of mankind. There's a maisa they always tell when they talk about Inyani Shmiras Einayim from Rav Elia Lopian. A bacha once came to Rav Elia Lopian. It's a famous maisa, but I feel like it's an essential story when you're talking about Inyani Shmiras Einayim. Rav Elia was once visited by a bacha who came to him and asked Rishus to go to a wedding of a distant cousin. And he asked him, where's the wedding? So he told him it's in a particular town. Rav Elia says, that's not for you. The people of that town are known. They don't, not so machped on in Yanei Tznius. People don't dress the way that they should. And I don't think it's appropriate for you to go. So his brother turns to Rav Elia. And he says, listen, Rebbe, you know, this is an Indian I've been working on very much. I'm in control. I have self-restraint. I know myself. It's safe. I can go. Nothing's going to happen, despite the fact that you're not happy with the Tznius standards of that town. And Rav Elia looked at him and he said, I'm 90 years old. I'm blind in one eye. And this is something, I can still feel the Yitzhar stirring inside of me. So you're going to tell me that you, a young bacher, because a little bit you decided to work on this Indian, all of a sudden now you have nothing to worry about. Really, he reached into his wallet, took out money, and he said, if this is what you're telling me, something's terribly wrong with you, you're clearly sick, take this money and go to a doctor. This is the maisa that they tell. You know, a person sometimes thinks he's okay in certain areas of Avodas Hashem, and he's not so okay. And as Rav Elia was saying, none of us have to be embarrassed to admit that this is a struggle that we have, because one of the great mashgichim, 90 years old and blind in one eye, said, I'm still struggling with Shmiras Einayim. So it's an Indian that requires a lot of chizuk, a lot of tikkun. And again, I hope that, you know, learning about it will be in the spirit of tikkun and nachas v'shalom to mekatrik against any of us. Especially myself, you know, it's not posture to get up and try to speak about these types of things in a public setting. A couple of years ago on Camp Hask, from Avram Shor Shlita, I'm sure many of us are familiar with, author of Alechach Valibov, son of Rav Gedalia Shor, the great Rosh Yeshiva from Yeshiva's Torah Vadas, Rav Shor came to speak in Camp Hask. And I remember I was thinking, Camp Hask, I figured Rav Shor is a very fiery personality. Anyone who's read his farm or had this close of meeting him knows that. So I figured maybe he would come and, you know, maybe say words a little more benachas. And Rav Shor came and he said what he needed to say. I remember vividly the opening line. I always quote it for Rav Shor. And again, it shows the midas ha-emes of a person. He gets up. There's a big mechitza. And he gets up and he says, he closes his eyes. He basically spoke the whole time with his eyes closed. Fiery speech. Probably one of the most intense things I ever heard from him. Of all, you know, he figures he's talking about chesed, everyone's so great, can't fast. He gets up and he starts off, he says, I heard from an Adam Gadol B'Yisrael that the Baal Pa'or of today is the American street. That's how he started his Dibur Chizuk. Anyways, at the end of the night, I was mama shaking, and as I went over to Rav Shor to shake his hand and get a bracha, he knows my father, he recognized me. And next thing I knew, Rav Judah Michelle was stuffing me into the back of a car that was being driven by Mike Sohn, for those who know Mike Sohn, to take Rav Shor back to his bungalow colony. So I'm sitting in the back. Michael Sohn's driving, Rav Shor's in the back. I'm in the back with Rav Shor's son sitting next to him. And I'm like still trembling from this, you know, from this gathering. And Rav Shor leans back and he turns to me and says, Nu, Tzadik, what are you doing? What are you up to? So I tell him, you know, I'm a Rebbe in TABC, and I was trying to impress him a little bit, so I just started teaching a Judaic studies elective in Hasidic thought. So I said to Rav Shor, I said, you know, Rebbe, he's asking about the school, what's it like? What are the boys like? Do they talk to girls? You know, all sorts of interesting, you want to get a sense of what a modern Orthodox high school looks like. So I was trying, in my foolishness, in my short-sightedness, I was trying to, I guess, impress him. So I said, oh, you know, Rebbe, I just started teaching Hasidus in this school. So he looks at me, he gives me this look, you know. And again, if you've ever met Rav Shor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He turns around, he looks at me, and he says, "Nu, what means Chassidus?" So I was like, oh boy. He says, at that point, I said, "Rebbe, maybe you should tell me what means Chassidus, you know?" Somebody wanted an answer. So I said, you know, I've been trying to teach them about various areas of things that maybe they've heard of, but to show them maybe a deeper dimension. I said, you know, just that day we had spoken about the relationship between Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris to try to bring out some of the deeper levels of understanding when we talk about Shmiras Einayim and Shmiras HaBris and things like that. So he says to me, he says, "Did you ever show them the halach and the Shulchan Aruch inside?" So I said, "No, you know," I said, "I'm trying to show them things that..." So he says, "Let me give you an etzah." He says, "You have to learn the halacha with them." What's the pshat? You have to learn the halacha with them. Sometimes you speak to a high school young man who's not yet ready to be makal with halacha. What was the big chiddush in showing them the halacha? Open up a shulchan aruch, show them in the shulchan aruch halacha is related to these things. I think the pshat's very simple. Sometimes we look at certain areas of avodas Hashem, and even if we know it's a halacha, we think of it as a chumrah or midas chasidus. When a person opens up a Shulchan Aruch and you see certain things, statements, in the same Shulchan Aruch that tells me everything else that governs my life, the same Shulchan Aruch that says put on your right shoe and then your left shoe and then tie the left, and, right? The same Shulchan Aruch that teaches you how to keep Shabbos and how to daven is the same Shulchan Aruch that tells you, you know, how to interact in various modes of conduct that are appropriate when it comes to, again, these more sensitive areas. And the idea is that even if you're not ready to be makabel it, and again, could be the students I was speaking to were not ready to fully be makabel, you know, every aspect of halacha, but when you see it on the books, when you're machazik yourself in the halachos of these areas, it's a real opportunity for a person to strengthen himself in these inyanim. So I want to start tonight taking this etzah that I received from Rav Shor, and to talk again. We'll talk certainly divrei musar, chasidus, inyanim to hopefully inspire us, but to start just with a few minutes of halacha, just a chazer, a couple statements, a couple Psukim, a couple Ma'amar Chazal, a couple Halachos in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, just to remind ourselves that this is not Midas Chasidus, this is not extra. You know, the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tshuva is describing the 24 things that are Ma'akev Tshuva. So he introduces Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, Arba V'esrim, Dvar Ma'akvenas Tshuva, and he breaks them down into different categories. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam writes, U'mehen Chamisha Dvarim, Ha'oso Asan Einchaz Kaso L'Shuv Me'an. There are five things that people, they're just not interested in doing Tshuva. I'm interested in doing tshuva in these things. Why? Lefi sheim dvarim kalim be'enei rova adam, v'nimtza chotei v'yadam she'en zachei. Things that we do that we assume, like, so again, it's not right, it's not proper, but it's not chet, it's not eating a cheeseburger. You know, it's not talking to a chazar sashat. I mean, it's, right, these are things that are, again, I should work on it, but it's not. Rambam lists these five things. The third one he writes, ve'ilu heim. The third one, amestaku ba'arayos, mala al daito she'in b'kachlum. Person looks, he glances at something he shouldn't look at. He says to himself, "Ein b'kachlum, what's so terrible about what I did?" Shu Omer, he says to himself, "V'chi ba'alti o karavti atzla." Did I have an intimate relationship with this woman? Did I in any way come into contact with her? Hu eini odeya shiriya se'inayim avon gadol. This is the lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. He doesn't realize that seeing with his eyes is itself a terrible chait. Shigo remes legufan shalarayos shenemar velos asura achrei levavchem v'achreinich. Ram says, you think this is just an innocent act, it's detached, it's not the real thing, this is not chas v'shalom being boel arayos or kravos arayos. Says the Rambam, if you understand how the eyes are an opening to the whole inyan of chet, we'll talk about it again on a more pnimius level, right? But it's easy to understand how a person, he discredits this thing. He says, "It was just a look, I just looked, I didn't..." Wasn't nichshol in anything of great severity. So you open up the Shulchan Aruch, you see the halachos inside, you see the Ma'amar Chazal, and it becomes a little bit more real. Now, where do we find in the Torah itself that the Torah tells us that a person has to be girded, has to be guarded in these matters? So we'll talk out three psukim. Again, there could be there are others. Right, the first one is the one that Ram just mentioned, Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Einecha, but Midbar Perak Tezvav, the Mefarshim are curious, why is it Lavavchem and then Einechem? The Pashtus says it should be the other way around, right? Einayim Ro is the eye see, and the Lev is Chomed, and the Klei Maisa complete the act. Seemingly the eyes are the starting point. Rabbeinu Bachai addresses the Belzer Rebbe as a pshat. Rabbeinu Bachai says the Lev is really the part that's governing the whole body, so the Lev, even though the eyes are technically going to see and then lead to feelings of the heart, But the heart is really in control, and that's why the Torah initiates by saying, The Chazal, in breaking down this pasuk in the Medrash and the Sefrei, the Medrash says, Acharei Neichem Zoz Nus. Kabbalah Brachos Yud Beis, on Beis, towards the bottom, has similar expressions, Ahir Hor Avera. It says Nus, Ahir Hor Avera. It's the same idea, though. Right, a person is told, don't stray after your eyes. What does it mean to stray after your eyes? It means nus. It means hira avera. It means thoughts of arayos. It means feelings of arayos. Now the Sefer HaChinuch obviously works to explain all the Sharshei HaMitzvah. So Sefer HaChinuch says, Nu, what's the pshat? What's the pshat behind this interesting mitzvah, Mitzvah Shin Pei Zayin? What lies behind? Says the Chinuch, Shorish mitzvah zu. Again, very strong lishonos. He says it's evident, it's self-evident. If you can conquer this inyan, you can guard yourself from all types of sin your entire life. And if you're not chas v'shalom in control of this inyan, you're a dead man. You have no chance. Your spiritual attainments will never get off the ground. And of course, the Sefer HaChinuch was writing this book to his son, as he describes in the Hakdama. It's very interesting. He tells his son, listen, you know, Shabbos afternoon, I don't want you to get into trouble with the other chevra, so I'll give you something, you know, just the thought that, like, this is going to be so exciting for his son that it's going to keep him out of trouble. You know, I'll give you a book to read, and, like, this is going to keep you out of trouble. Okay. So he says, my son, v'dabini, I know my son, utei margla b'pumech, to be on your lips at all times, v'asha amru zichronim levracha, aveira goreris aveira, mitzvah goreris mitzvah. Understand the reality. A person who thinks I'm gonna just like dabble in these areas is never like that. It's never like that, right? It always leads to more. Again, lav dafka worse acts, you know, acts of arayos. But again, it's very often that avera garas avera, a person becomes addicted to these things. A person becomes drawn into this very evil world of znus. Shimtashis daitach lemalos tavascha hara pamachas. You think you're gonna dabble in this one time? You think one time, maybe I'll cross a line that maybe I shouldn't cross. Timshach achareya kama pamim. The Gemara says at the end of Sukkah, I believe it's in the fifth parak, I don't remember what daf it is. The Gemara says there's an aver katan in a person. That the more he uses it, the more hungry it gets. The less he uses it, the less. A person thinks, I'll be a little bit involved in a rice. It's never like that, says the Sefer HaChinuch. And he compares it to a person who's a drunk. Right, a drunkard drinks and he's never satisfied. It inspires another drink and another drink. And it creates this vicious, terribly vicious cycle of dependency upon that which he's getting his high from. And it never ends. And again, says the Sefer HaChinuch, it's self-evident why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to get involved with this. It's so obvious how one thing leads to the next. And you open up the Shulchan Aruch, you open up a Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, in his second comment talks about the six mitzvot tamidios. And of course, right, one of the six is this, Shin Pei Zayin. He quotes from the Chinuch in his Akdama where he talks about the six. In the six mitzvos that actually are the mitzvos tmidios, the Chinuch again reiterates this idea. But again, this is something that at all stages of life, at all ages, of all places we're holding religiously, it's an ongoing time, it's an ongoing struggle. Again, like to be embarrassed of, Eliyahu Lopihan says, he's 90 years old and he's still grappling with it. You know, so how serious is this pasuk? How serious is this drasha? Again, it's a Medrash Halach, it's a Sefrei. In Oskuf Tesvav, right, that Achrei Nechem is Zos Nus. So the Beis Yosef in Ebenezer, Simon Chafalif, quotes from the Orchos Chaim, who's quoting Rabbeinu Yonah in the Geras Atshuva, who says that this is a Lav Daraisa. This is a Lav Daraisa. Losur Achrei, a person has a Hir Hor Avera. And again, you know, we think about how poorly we're in control of our minds at times, right? How callous we are, careless and quick we are to engage in various types of behaviors, you know, racking up Yisurei Da'araisa, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, Estaklis Be'ishas Ish, again, it could be that a Penuya is less, we'll see the Pasuk in Iyov, it could be it's only Midivar Kabbalah. But again, we're dealing with potentially very serious Yisurei Da'araisa. The Rambam, when he brings this in the Minyan HaMitzvos, in Lo Sa'aseh Mem Zayin, the Rambam records this pasuk, right? Lo Latur, the Rambam puts Achrei Levavchem, Achrei Nechem as one, a general prohibition of don't allow yourself to lose control of your life, don't stray. And the Rambam says, even though Chazal specifies Zoz Nus, the Rambam says, Ratzaba Omro Zoz Nus, Hemshech Achar Nos Vataivos Agashvus. Rambam sees this as more of a general prohibition of being drawn after any type of taiva, any type of bodily pleasure. But again, it's a mitzvah d'araisa. Right, it's a Lo Sa'aseh D'araisa according to many, many Rishonim. It's recorded very seriously. And again, it's something that can very easily, as you see from the Lashonos of these Rishonim, spiral out of control. That's one makor that we have in the Torah. A second makor in the Torah. Parshas Ki Tetzeh, it describes the Jewish people going out to war, and they're warned that they should guard themselves v'nishmartam mikol davar ra. Guard yourself from any type of negative behavior. What happens in a battlefield? What types of negative behavior? Rashi in Ksubas Daf Memvav says, v'nishmartam, we know, Chazal tells us in many mesechtos, Hishamar pen va'al is lashon of alosa say, v'nishmartam mikol davar ra. Rashi in Ksubas Memvav says, we're talking about alosa say. What's the application? You're going out to battle. Again, don't do anything ra. Ra, we know from other places in the Torah, sometimes connotes Arayos. Where do we see specifically this pasuk applied to Arayos? So Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf, the Gemara is describing brachos you make upon seeing beautiful people. Mashal, a person's walking down the street, and he sees a beautiful woman, and he recites a bracha on her. Says the Gemara, recites a bracha on her. What's the heter to even look at her? Right? The Gemara quotes our pasuk, v'nishmarta mikol davara. An Eishas Ish is usher to look at even if she's not attractive. If she's a single woman, so if she's attractive, then you shouldn't look at her. Otherwise, maybe it's okay to look a little bit. Right? If she's a married woman, you can't look at her even if she's unattractive. And bearing in mind the Medrash that says all Jewish women are attractive, the gullus takes a toll on them. Factor that in a little bit. Chazal or Bada, the Gemara says, what's Pshav? Nishmar to be called Devarah. How is it possible to ever make a brach on a beautiful woman? What's the messias that you saw? So we say, well, a person who did an avera and he was looking at a beautiful woman, so now, after the fact, he's going to be talking with a bracha. That's what we're talking about. So Gemara says, no, it's a rare case of Karen Zavis. You're rounding the corner, you happen to bump, hopefully not literally, into a beautiful woman. Okay, so you have the right to make the bracha on her at that point. I want to sort of rub comment jokingly, but it's a true statement. That the first glance that a person has is free, the second one you have to pay for. I mean, you know, you happen to look up and there's an attractive, you haven't done in the veira, that's not a violation of a stachlis. The Magen Avraham in several places, Reish Chaf Hei, with regard to looking at non-Jews, Reish Chaf Tes, looking at a rainbow. Magen Avraham says his stachel and re'iyah are two different categories. Re'iyah means just to see, right? So seeing is one thing. His stachel, when I continue to look, you know. So the first glance is free. Around the corner, you see a beautiful woman, you make a bracha on her, Chazal say. But again, mishmartim mikol davarah. Don't allow it to be something that you habituate yourself to doing. Don't let it become stachlis. Don't look a second time. This is, again, a second source, again, which we've shown him to take very seriously as a dinda araisa, or perhaps a lav, of again, the isser of stachlis. A third place in the Torah. Third place in the Torah that we find, again, the Torah warning us of the danger of this isser. In Parshas Acharimos, by the Parsha of Arayos, the Torah tells us, Tzvayikra Perak Yudches Pasuk Vav, Ish Ish, El Kol She'er B'saro Lo Sikrivu L'galo Serva. Don't come close to committing acts of Arayos. It says the Medrash in Torah's Kohanim, it's usher for a person to do anything, any type of behavior, that'll bring him, Chas V'Shalom, again, to be Nichshol B'Arayos. And again, you see the wisdom of Chazal. Chazal are saying, don't you understand, again, it's not so simple to distinguish from one thing to the next. I'll look, but I won't touch. I'll see, but I won't do. It's a vera goreres avera. It's a vicious, vicious cycle. The Chinuch says it. The Rambam says it. Chazal recognizes what they're saying in the Medrash. Don't do anything that's going to lead. You think you know yourself. You think you have self-control. I know it's not going to lead to anything. The Rambam quotes this pasuk again. This pasuk in Acharei Mos towards the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. And he quotes a very frightening lashon. He says, "A mistakel afilu betza." With regard to this pasuk, "A mistakel afilu beetzba katana shel isha." Miniskaven lay knows. A person looks at even the small finger of an isha with the desire of getting pleasure from looking at her, from seeing her beauty. Kamisha mistakel b'makom atorif. So different than looking at the makom erva. You think, what do you mean? I'm looking at an area that's more revealed, right? It's not going to lead to anything. The Rambam got it. Chazal got it. They understood. Again, avera goreres avera. So these are three sources. Again, the pasuk that we're most familiar with, Lo Sasuru. The pasuk, again, Ki Teitzeh, when you go out to battle, Nishmartam Mikol Davara. And again, this pasuk by the Inyan of the Arayos in Parshas Acharimos. There's a fourth source that I'll just mention quickly, and that's a pasuk in Eov. When Eov is describing his self-righteousness, and he's questioning, how could the Rabbeinu Shalom do all of this to me? I'm such a righteous person. He's waxing poetic in Perek Lamed Aleph, at the very beginning, he opens Perek Lamed Aleph, Eov says, Bris karti leinai, Ribono Sholom, you know how careful I am with my eyes. I made a covenant with you, with regarding my eyes. Umaz bonein al basula, I don't even look at a pnuya. So if you open up almost every Nasa, and there's very interesting discussions about this Indian, What do we find in Avos Rinasan? It says, what's the Svara? What's wrong with looking at a Pnuya? I understand, Eish Asish. She's a real Erva, but a Pnuya, in theory, I could marry this girl. What would be wrong with looking at her? You open Avos Rinasan, a wild Svara. What's going to happen, says Avos Rinasan? Today, you're going to look at this Isha Pnuya. You're going to be stuck on this Isha Pnuya. Tomorrow, you're going to break up with her, and she's going to go out with another guy, and she's going to end up marrying this other fellow. Right? So retroactively, you'll have looked at an Eish Asish. Wild Svar. I looked at her when she was single. She goes and she gets married. And now, right? Now she's a married woman. So now, because I once knew this girl and I looked at her and now she's married, so I looked at an Eish Asish. So the girl changes the gear and says, no, you're Mahar by Eish Asish. I mean, this woman is a part of your life. Now you're Mistakel in this woman and now she's married. And it's so hard to separate from those original feelings, perhaps, that you had for her. But again, this is a source of Midivrei Kabbalah that even for an Isha Pnuya, again, they're hetero, a person who's dating, it's obviously you have to look at the person that you're at the halacha, right? You have to see the woman before you're Makadish, sir. Famous story with the Vilna Gaon, for those who know the story. But again, there's an idea that with a certain degree of restraint, that even in Isha Pnuya, it has to be done in a way that's appropriate and sensitive. So I'll just conclude the Chelek Halacha. Again, this is a very, very much Bekitzer overview. Again, just the Makayim Divrei HaRav, kind of the words of Rav Shor. I once heard actually from Rav Shor that when Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Ayin in a particular, you know, Mari Makum, if a person goes and actually looks up Rabbi Kiva Eger, tells him to look up, so he fulfills the mitzvah of listening to Chachamim. So, you know, a person has to be careful to listen to the words of the sages. So, but Adam Golub Yisrael tells you to teach halacha, so you teach the halacha. So I'll just be Messiah again. You know, Shlomo Melech says, "L'das chochma musar." So before you get to the musar, just to share a word of halacha, I'll just end with the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch himself. Rav Yosef Kairo writes in Eben Ezer Simin Chaf Aleph, where he records many of these halachos. A lashon that I believe, I'm pretty sure, is only appears in this one makom in the Shulchan Aruch. A very, very strong lashon. Tzarech ha'adam lisrachik me'anashim ma'od ma'od. Maybe a Choshem Mishpah, one other place uses a similar Lashon. But a person needs to distance himself from Lashon Ma'od Ma'od. Very, very much. Why? Why? I know myself. I can walk that tightrope. Again, Chazal understood, the Rishonim understood that it's a game that's a very dangerous game. This is the Chelek Halacha, and that will, for a few minutes, if anyone needs to go at any point, don't feel that you're a hostage. But we'll talk in Yane Musar, again, Ladas Chachmo Musar. I'll start with a thought that I was thinking just this afternoon as I was putting together my thoughts. You know, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, he writes in Machshavos Chorotz in Os Tesvav, he says that every halacha is recorded in a specific place. If a particular halacha falls out in a particular siman in Shulchan Aruch, there's a reason it's there. If there's a halacha that appears in the Sefer, there's a mitzvah that appears in Sefer HaChinuch, and you know, Rav Tzadok's talking there, and why the halachos that appear in Siman Reish Mem, and the mitzvot that appear in Reish Mem is Gematria Malek, what has to do with the Malek? He believes that there's a certain Ruach HaKodesh that's governing the moves of these great Rishonim. If halacha falls out in the particular, again, Siman, there's a reason it's there. So I thought I would humbly suggest, why is it that the halachos of guarding oneself, distancing oneself from Nashim, Ma'od, Ma'od, appears in Siman Chaf Aleph? You know, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. Right? When the Jews are ready to leave Mitzrayim, Erevas Haaretz, a person wants to get a little bit out of this world of Arayos, this world that again can be so addictive at times. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, what should I tell Klal Yisrael? You know, on the 49th level of Tumah, it's very hard to detach yourself from such a place. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them, Eka Asher Eka. Eka Shalachani Aleichem. Hey, yeah, I'll be with you. Hashem says, you make the efforts and I'll help you the rest of the way. Right, that name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eka, Ehyeh, Aleph Hey Yurei, is Gematria 21. I was thinking maybe, again, B'derach Drush, you could suggest, why is it that this halacha appears in Simin Chaf Aleph of the Shulchan Aruch? Perhaps the answer is because this is the attitude a person has to say. And a person has to say to himself, it's a daunting task to overcome, it's a very strong Yetzer Hara, but Ehyeh, right, I will be. Set a goal for yourself, work on yourself, set something, work with someone, reach out to someone. You know, there are people, I was talking to Ari Blass before, just asking him some of his thoughts on these inyanim, and he said there are people who have the courage to step up and to ask for help. Very fine people. You know, davka makes you a bad person if you've been nichshel, if you've been caught up in this web of Arayos. Right? There are plenty of very good people who stumble these things, but they're smart enough to know they need help. They say, I'm not where I need to be, but yeah, I'll be something. I'm going to work on myself. I'm willing to change. That's how a person gets himself out of the world of Mitzrayim. You know, the Indian of Einayim is a very old story in the history of the world. You go back to the original Chet, you go back to Chet Adam and Chava. Go back to Gan Eden. And where does the chayt of Adam and Chava begin? Where's the opening moment of the destruction of the universe? It's the Inyan of Einayim. Bnei Yisachar points out that four of the five sentences are involved in the original chayt, but where does it all begin? Pasuk's very clear. Chava sees that the fruit is desirable. That's the psicha to the chayt, the opening through the eyes, right, the window onto the neshama. And the Nachash understands that the eyes are the place in which he can trick Chava. I read a story once that some Holocaust survivors after the war saw some SS soldiers being held captive by the Russians. And for a few moments they felt bad for the very people who oppressed them terribly. The same Nazi soldiers who were so cruel to them, they saw them now being held in captivity by the Russians, and for a moment, right, their eyes deceived them. And then they realized, wait, this is a sickness. What are we talking about? These are the most evil people on planet Earth. But the eyes can be very tricky. The eyes can deceive a person very easily. The Nachash understands that if Chava will just look at the fruit, and if she'll just look towards the Eitz Hadas, then everything else will follow. Avera Goraris Avera. Open up the Torah to Or HaChaim Siman Aleph. One of the beginning of the Torah. See an amazing var. The Torah writes based on the pasuk in Tehillim Parakuf Yotes. David Melech says, Hat libi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, incline my heart. Right, guide my heart on the right path. Pasuk continues, Ha'aver einai, but avert my eyes. He explains the Torah, why when it comes to matters of the heart, does it say, direct my heart? When it comes to the matters of the eyes, it says, make sure my eyes look away. So the Torah explains, because there's a big difference between the way the heart and the eyes operate. The eyes, the second they see something, it's accepted as fact. When the eye sees something, that's it. There's nothing more to talk about. It's already been processed, it's been stamped into your brain, and it's very difficult to reporish from it. When a person's heart is attacked by external stimuli, right, so then he has to realize what to do with it. Right, the heart might be coerced somewhat, but he has the ability to guide the heart more easily. When the eye sees something, it's very hard to take it back. David Melech says, Haver einai, remove my eyes from seeing. Because if the eyes see, everything else follows. Chava looks at the tree of Atera, she sees the fruit is desirable, and everything else follows suit. We just finished Chanukah not so long ago, and the whole Indian of Chanukah is the Indian of the Einayim. And Einanu Rishus, the Shamesh Bamel, the Rosim Bavad, the whole Indian of Ner Chanukah, Birchas Haroa, a unique bracha that all the Mefarshim grapple with to understand what's the nature of this bracha, why by Chanukah I could see a Maisa Mitzvah, and I can make a bracha on it. But again, Chanukah is very much the Indian of the Einayim. It's a sefer called B'nai Shleishim. It's a very, very deep sefer, very hard to understand. But he has many ma'amarim on Chanukah and Parshios and Bereishis. And one of the ma'amarim he has here, in the section called Vayiftach Yosef, on Parshios Vayeshev. Again, many Ramazim, many of them I don't understand. But he talks about this idea. He says, HaPagam HaRishon Ba'olam HaYavayin V'teira Isha Beitz Hadas. The Tikkun is Ner Chanukah. Einan HaRishos L'Arosam, right? L'Shamesh Be'amel L'Arosam Bovad. Bereiyas Ha'ayin. What do we read about throughout the days of Chanukah? Every single day of Chanukah, the Inyan of the Nesiyim. What's the secret of the Inyan of the Nesiyim? Says the B'nai Shleishim. Wondrous idea. He says, each of the Nesiyim is bringing carbon. No, we know from the Ramban and other Rishonim. Each one brings his own carbon. It's the same carbon with a unique Kavana. And they're trying to be attacking this Inyan of the Einayim. They're trying to fix the original Pagam of the universe. Right? And again, this is an ongoing battle. How does the Torah end? What are the last three words of the Torah? Le'inei kol Yisrael. Why? Because that's the whole avoda from beginning to end. To mitake and everything that went wrong at the beginning of the Torah, mamish till the end of the Torah, le'inei kol Yisrael, till you get to the last three words of the Torah and bring the Gula Shleima, this is the avoda of Klal Yisrael. So the Nesiyim, who are so much a part of the Inyan of Chanukah, which is the Inyan of Einayim, the Nesiyim are working diligently on this. Each one with his Karbano. Karbano, Karbano, Karbano. Says the Menei Shleishim, Karbano is Gematria Nachash, Karbano is Gematria Mashiach. Each one has to do his offering to try to be metaki in this Inyan. What is the nature of their carbon? What are each of them bringing? He says, unbelievable, the Inyan of Einayim. Karas kesef achas shloshim umeya mishkala. Each one brings a karas kesef that's shloshim umeya. The gematria, he says, of the word ayin, ayin yud nun, is 130, shloshim umeya. Each one's bringing his carbon to metaki in the Inyan of Einayim. But that's not enough, because that's metaki in the word ayin, ayin yud nun. What about the letter ayin? Right, well, continues their carbon. Mizrak echad kasef, shivim shekel. Shivim is the gematria, the letter ayin. So each one is busy trying to mitaken this inyan of einayim. We spend all of Hanukkah trying a little bit to stare at the lights, to take a little bit of this light, to commit ourselves to the avoda, fixing the einayim, to work towards the leinei kol Yisrael. Very fundamental question when we ask, you know, how is the nachash able to get Adam and Chava to sin? And we know Nefesh HaChaim describes in Shara Aleph Perek Vav in that note, that famous Haggah, he says prior to the Chet, the Yetzer Tov was the dominant voice within a person. The Yetzer Hara was this background noise. It was only after the Chet that the order flipped, that the Yetzer Hara became the dominant voice within man, and the Yetzer Tov is now the quiet voice in the back of your head that's trying to get you out of bed in the morning as the Yetzer Hara is dominating your thoughts and trying to lull you back to sleep. Right? But how is it possible, when the Yetzer Tov was so dominant, how did the Nachash even find an opening to have his message presented to Adam and Chava? Again, if the Yetzer Tov is so dominant, where's the ground for seducing them? Where's the ground for tricking them? So I once saw in a sefer, and it's a very hard question. It's not a simple question. If anyone has answers, I'd love to hear. How is it possible to bring them to Chet if they're in a state where they don't really have Bechir yet? It's a hard question. It's a deep philosophical question. I once saw an answer, an approach in a sefer, that they had to do something. Adam and Chava had to be nichshol in something that wasn't a Chet per se, but was improper. Because again, the Indian of Chet was removed from them. They had to do something that was a little bit off-colored, so to speak. And that would create some type of middle ground for the Nachash to begin to work his way into the life of Adam and Chav. What was the improper act that took place? Rashi and Chumash tells us. Rashi says that the Nachash saw Adam and Chav being intimate with each other. And the Nachash was jealous. And he decided to get involved somehow to try to break up this relationship. Ah, you'll tell me prior to the Chet, there was no Indian of Taiva. They were unclothed, and it was without any type of immoral thoughts or behaviors. Okay, it was still something a little improper. Something a little bit, a lack of tznius on some small level, a small pagan that became an opening for perhaps the Nachash to penetrate into this relationship. And again, the Nachash, when he sees an act of znus, and again, it's not so, technically it's not znus, it wasn't usur. It wasn't usur what Adam and Chava were doing. But it was a little bit insensitive in the area of Arayos. Immediately the Nachash attacks the eyes. And I think that creates the root of this relationship between the eyes and Znus. And why is it, Achrei Neichem Zo Znus? Where does that come from? Because again, the opening to allow for that Pagam of the Einayim, the original sin that brought the Neshama of Adam and Chava crashing down, that ruined the world, that became the life mission of Klal Yisrael, it starts from that Pagam of Znus. That's the opening, that's the window into Znus. Returning to Chanukah for a minute, the Yavanim are very much that world of Znus. If the whole avoda of Chanukah is the world of the Einayim, the Yavanim, of course, are the antithesis of everything we stand for in Chanukah. The Yavanim represent that world of Znus, the world of the Guf, the world of Gilui Arayos, right? The Greek Olympics that are performed in the nude, the Gemara and Ksuvos Daf Gimel, Tibol Latafsar Trila on the wedding night, each young Jewish virgin woman was taken to be taken advantage of by the Greek general, by the Greek leadership. Right? That world of Znus is the opposite of our world of Shmira Seinayim, of Tara Seinayim. The world of the Shemen Zayas Zach, the menorah radiating, lighting up a very dark gullus. So I'll share with you a thought that I had about 2 years ago. I think it's an interesting insight. Now again, we're saying that there's this battle between the Zayas on the one hand, the Shemen Zayas Zach, that purity, that clarity of Machshava, that clarity of Einayim, on the one hand, and the Znus of Yavan on the other hand. Now you look at the word Yavan, the Sfarim describe, and what do you see? Yud Vav Nun. The Sfarim explained the only letter in the Hebrew alphabet that doesn't rest on the line is the letter Yud. It's Lamala. Gemara in Menachos, Kibukah, Shem Tzor Olam, Makshadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Haba with the letter Yud, Olam Haza with the letter Hey. The letter Yud floats in the sky. A Jew is called a Yehudi, a Yud, a Yid, because a Jew elevates himself above the line, so to speak. Yavan takes the Yud, and they drag it down, and they drag it down further. Yud, Vav, Nun. Yud representing the positive aspect of a Jew, and the Vav, Nun representing that small-mindedness, right, of Yavan, the ability to belittle, to drag things down. The Radak actually writes in Tehillim Perek Yud Zayin, the Radak on the word Ishon Bas Ayin explains that a Vav, Nun always means a miniature version of something. The pupil of the eye is called the Ishon. Why? Because if you look at someone's eyes, what do you see? An Ishon. You see a miniature man. You see a miniature reflection of yourself. So Vav Nun means a miniature something. Yavanim take the Yud that represents Kedusha, that represents Klal Yisrael, that represents longing for Olam Haba, and they drag it down, and they drag it down further. So on the one hand, you have the Yud. On the other hand, you have the Vav Nun. Look at the difference between the word Zayas and the word Znus. Acharei Nechem Zuznus. We're working on the Indian of Shem and Zayas to look at the menorah, being Matakin, right? The pure oil that was found. And Yavan's pushing us towards this world of Znus. Look at the difference between the two words. Right? Zayas has a Zion in the top, Znus has a Zion in the top. But what are the differences in the letters? Zayas has the Yud, and Znus has the Vav and the Nun. Right? This world of Yavan to drag us away from that clarity, that Kedusha, the whole avoda of Hanukkah, trying to, again, to fix our eyes, to pick ourselves back up, to be metakin. Now, that's the time period of the year in which we're holding. And it's not by chance that Dafke after Hanukkah, the world of Mitzrayim comes back. Because the world of Erev HaSa'aretz, that world of Mitzrayim, which is so much, again, the root of Galus and the root of all Znus, right? Mitzrayim comes in this week's Parsha and things are closing in on us. Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Comments Rashi, Lama Parsha Zustuma, why is this a closed Parsha? The eyes and the hearts, the eyes and the hearts of Klal Yisrael are closing up. Normally we think of this in the negative. Yaakov is dying, things are getting rough. The Sheba Mitzrayim is beginning. Revolbi asks on the Sefer and Chumash. It's not true, the Sheba doesn't begin at this point. It says Revolbi, with the death of Yaakov, the Gadol Hador was gone. With the Gadol Hador gone, the Sheba of Aruchni, right? The Ruchni is Sheba of Mitzrayim had begun. But I want to read Rashi differently. I was thinking this past Shabbos, maybe there's a positive touch in Rashi. What does it mean with Yaakov Avinu's passing, Nistum Ve'Neim V'Livim Shel Yisrael? It's not that our hearts and our minds, right, and our eyes were being closed from being used in a pure way. It's Dafka, that's our response to Shibud Mitzrayim. When Mitzrayim intensifies, when you don't have a Yaakov Avinu, when you don't have the Ish Emes, when you don't have the person who spent every waking moment sitting in the tents of Torah, when you don't have a Yaakov Avinu who gives a bracha to Reuven in this week's Parsha and says, Reuven, you were the first drop of Zera to ever leave my body. Such Kedusha, such Tara. When you lose a Yaakov Avinu, the response as Mitzrayim is closing in on you, as Erev HaSa'aretz is all around you, we have to make the choice of Nistimu Einayim V'Livim Shel Yisrael. That's our response to the Shibud Mitzrayim. We close our eyes and we say, we're not going to let the Yetzer in. The famous Maisa with the Magid of Mezritch. Chassid once came to the Magid of Mezritch and he was complaining, very difficult, Machshavos, Shmiras Einayim. So the Magid said, listen, I'm going to send you to the Baal or Meir, right, Rav Zev Wolf of Zhitomer. He says, you'll go to him, we'll give you an Eitzah on how to deal with these inyanim. So he travels, you know, like a good Chassidus Shatel, he travels to the forest and it's a wintry night. And he comes to the home of Rav Zev Wolf and he knocks on the door and he knocks again, and no answer, and he goes around to the side, and he looks in the window, and he sees the Or Meir, in the name of a sefer, Rav Zev Wolf of Zhitomer, he sees him sitting there learning, and he's knocking on the window, and he's banging on the door, and he's running around the house, banging on all the walls, and nothing, he's ignoring him. He's sitting there, right, immersed in his learning, and this poor fellow, he's locked outside, it's getting cold, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Finally, in desperation, he gives up, he lies down on the doorstep at the home of this Rebbe, and he covers himself with his jacket, trying to stay warm beneath the snow, and he's lying there and he falls asleep. A short while later, the door opens, and Rav Zev Wolf sees this fellow lying there, and he pulls him in, and he says, Nu, what are you doing? Why didn't you knock? Why didn't you come in? He sits him down, he warms him up, gives him a cup of tea, and he says, Rebbe, come on, don't play that game. You heard me knock. I saw you, I looked in the window, I saw you sitting there, I was banging on the door, you saw me. He says, you ignored me. You didn't open the door. So Rav Zev Wolf of Zhitomer says to him, he says, why did the Magid send you to me? The Magid sent you to me to teach you how a person conquers Machshavos Raos, how a person does Shmiras Einayim. He says, I'm the Baal HaBas. I decide who comes in. I decide what stays out. That's how a person works on Shmiras Einayim. That's how a person works on Machshavos Tahoros. You make yourself a Baal HaBas over your own existence, you decide what comes in and what comes out. Klal Yisrael understood that as Mitzrayim is getting more intense, as all the Sfarim say, you have to appoint judges, you have to appoint officers, you have to put up those walls. For some people it means putting a filter on your internet. You're out of your mind if you don't have a filter on your internet. You're totally out of your mind. If you're sitting in this room and you don't have a filter on your internet, just come to me afterwards, we'll do it right now. Someone came to me, they were concerned about it, they're having an issue with these types of vinyanim. And I said, listen, go get your computer right now. We'll deal with it. And it was a struggle. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do it. He was a gibor like Yosef Tzaddik. Right? Ran out. Took care of it. 1, 2, 3. a person decides, I want to take control, so I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to put up barriers. Again, sometimes it's a practical barrier in that form. Other times it's talking to people, seeking etza. Sometimes it's, again, working on a game plan. But a person has to recognize that he's the Baal HaBas. He has to take control of his life. It's only so much we can say, you know, I'm going to sit back and let a Kadosh Baruch Hu perform nisim for me. Someone just came to Rosh Hashanah and asked Rosh Hashanah, we're very bothered by the bracha that we recite, Shalom Asani Goy. Why not say the more positive, Shasani Yehudi? So Rosh Hashanah said a moridic answer. Rosh Hashanah said, I'll tell you why. He says, the Rabbonu Sha'olam created you, Shalom Asani Goy. Hashem can only guarantee that you're not a guy. You have to decide if you want to make yourself a Yehudi. Psh. You have to decide, are you going to be the Baal HaBas or not? Right? At the end of the day, you know, we could put filters, but you know, people can't get around filters. Okay, you have to set yourself up as best you can. You have to use the technology to fight the technology, but at the end of the day, are you the Baal HaBas or not? Hashem says, I'll ensure you're not going to be a guy. You're not going to be, kedoshim to you, ki kedoshim ni Hashem lokechem, you know, the mashal of the Dubna Magid. Right? A certain fellow who decides that he doesn't need to be so kadosh because other people aren't so kadosh. Right? Our standards are not based on the people around us. Oh, so the world is so, you know, so far from kedusha. So if I'm anything, then I'm doing pretty good, right? I'm kadosh. No, but strive to be like Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we have to set the bar higher and higher. We have to set standards for ourselves. We have to say, I want to be the Baal HaBas. I'm not just going to say, well, I'm not, you know, as bad as everyone else around me, so I'm doing okay. Right? Take control of your life. Decide that you're going to be in control. There's a sefer called Machzei Nayim, written by the Magid, Bialystok or Magid. I heard this sefer quoted once by Rav Matzio Salomon. He addresses the question in the sefer, why is it that the eyes cry? Why does Kadosh Baruch Hu make it that the eyes cry? You know, a person goes, you stub your toe, and your eyes start to cry, right? You break your arm, and the eyes start to water. Why is it always the eyes that are responding to any type of difficulty? So the Bialystok or Magid explained, he said, because if you understand that the eyes are the root of all chayt, it makes sense. Yeah, I hurt my toe, I broke my arm, I fell down, something happened. Any type of tragedy, it's all rooted in the Einayim. The Einayim are always the ones to respond. So he quotes in Machzei Einayim and Machzei Vav. I just want to read you a lashon in the Medrash, and I'll wrap up obviously in a couple more minutes, but I have to read you this lashon in the Medrash. Very empowering. He says, a person should guard himself, al yitein daito b'isha acheres, person decides, I'm going to become the Baal HaBas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. You have a guarantee of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzo mischaber lo lekadcho v'lo yitein liyetzahar lishlotto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put up a fight, Hashem will make the Yetzahar go away. And he quotes the following Maisa. It's a medrash that appears in Yalkut Shimoni and Vayechi. It's a medrash of Saras Adibros. Maisa b'Rabbi Masi ben Charish. One of the Gedolei HaTanaim, he's quoted in Pirkei Avos in the fourth parak. Masi ben Charish. Shai Yoshev v'dorish b'Torah, v'yupanov domos l'chama. Mam is shining, sitting there, darshening the Torah. V'klaster panov domol l'malachi yasharis b'yir ha-shamayim. Shemiyamav lo nasa einav l'isha b'olam. But Masi ben Charish never once in his life looked at another woman, other than his own wife. Pamachas ha Yoshev v'dorish v'osik b'Torah b'is ha-medrish. Avar satan l'fanav ra'ov v'niskanabah. The Samamish the Eos story. The Satan comes and he sees this great tzaddik, Rav Masi ben Charish, and he says, I'm going to take him out. I'm going to do something to cause him to be nechshol. Amar efshel adam kazesh lo yechta. What, he thinks he's invincible, nothing can stop him. Ma'asa ha-satan ol l'rakiya v'amad l'fnei ha-kadosh baruch. V'amar rabbonu sholom. Tein li rishus v'anasenu. Give me a chance. Allow me to test him. You'll see, he's not as perfect, right? Mamash, straight out of Yov. Amar lo, Hashem says, good, leich, go for it. Halachu matzah shai Yoshev osi b'Torah. Be'asa, what did this malach do? What did the satan do? Nidma l'isha shalo haya kamosam yemos na'ama achos tuval kayin. The malach amaves, the satan, it's all the same character, Gemara Bava Basra. The satan comes and disguises himself as the most beautiful woman since the times of Na'ama, who was the sister of Tuval Kayin. What was the godless of her beauty? She was so beautiful. Shabo tov malachi asharis. Right, that strange psukim that appeared at the beginning of Bereishis. That was Naama was the one who led the malachim astray. Basa va'amda lafana. She goes outside the base medrash and right, again the sultan and the musa of this isha plops himself down right across from Ramasi ben Chash. Kevin Shirao saw chazal the small, so he turns his chair to the left, takes control. I'm the Baal HaBas here. Yoshva letzad small, so. This Isha in disguise moved to the left. Havach panav l'tzad yamin. So he turned to the right. Kevan Shira Osam Mishapechas Letzad Amr Misyari Ani Shemi Yisgabra La Yitzahara. When he saw that this Isha wasn't giving up so quickly, Mashi ben Charash recognized the danger he was in. Ma'asa Oso Tzadik Amr Letalmidim. Listen to this. Pachar. Listen to this. Amr Letalmidim Ayoshim Lefanav Lechu Ve'evu Eishu Masmarim. Go bring me a fire. Go bring me poles. Metal poles, iron poles. V'nastam besocha eish ad shahayu aduim ke'eish. Again, a lot of halachic shailas you could ask on this Gemara, on this medrash. That's not our concern right now. It's our concern, but not our concern right now. Nastam besocha eish ad shahayu aduim ke'eish. They put these metal prongs into the fire until they were red hot. V'nastam al einav. And he touched it to his eyes. Kev and shirah satan kach. When the satan saw how far a person would go, not to be nichshol. And was a sura acharei. Einechem nizdaze v'nafal al panav v'ra'ad v'al amaram. The satan was so scared of the intense avodah of Rav Masih ben Charash, the satan panicked and ran back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chazul v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar l'fanav Ribbono Shel Olam, kach v'kach hayo maisa. Ribbono Shel Olam, you were right, you're not going to believe what happened. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chilo amarti l'cha, she'en atayachalo, didn't I tell you? I know who Rav Masih ben Charash is. Bo'usa shah kara kodesh baruch hu l'rafal, kodesh baruch hu called over the malach rafal. Omer lo leichu rafay einav shal Rav Masih ben Charash. Rafal comes to Rav Masih ben Charash and he's ready to heal him. Omer lo kodesh baruch hu shalchani alecha l'rafal seseinecha. Omer lo tani chini masha haya haya. Rav Masih ben Charash says no thanks. No thanks. What's done is done. He wanted the schar. He didn't want to be nechshal again. He can't begin to understand what this means. Chazal of Nea Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kach V'Kach Chamali, he doesn't want to be healed. What should I do? Should I fight him? Should I heal his eyes against his will? Amar lo leich amar lo shelo yishlo po yitzahar lo. Go tell him that he's never going to be tempted by this again. He passed the test. He's passed the test. That's it. Miyad holach v'rafo som mikan amru chachamim kol mi she'eno nosin eino b'yisha acheres. A person who guards himself. A person who decides, I'm the Baal HaBas. And nothing in the world is going to take that away from me. I'm not going to lose control of myself. Ein yitzahar sholipo. V'lakach yizara adam shol yisa eino b'yisha acheres levan mi'ishno. Adkan, Lashon HaMedrash, as quoted by the Bialas Stacher Magid in the Mach Seinai. Pella. Unbelievable. Meyerdik of Medrash, just to express again the intensity of a level that someone would go to guard themselves in these inyan. But if a person understands, I have to be the Baal HaBas, and I'm not going to give that away for anything in the world. And I'll blind myself to the point of Suma Chashav Kameis if I have to. But I'm not going to allow it because I understand, like the Sefer HaChinuch said, if I lose control of this, I lost control of everything. I'm going to allow myself to be the Baal HaBas. I'm going to conclude with an idea. The idea that's found in the Nesivos Shalom Parshas Matos. Nesivos Shalom describes, you know, we're in the Ikus of the Mashiach, 5773, there's not that much time left. 6,000, the Gemara says, two places, Vodazar, Daftes, Sanhedrin as well at the end. Right, 6,000 is the cutoff point. At every point in, every major turning point in Jewish history, the Nesivos Shalom says, two issues come our way. Very Yesodistic piece in the Nesivos Shalom. It's page 170 in Parshas Matos. He says that at every major point in Jewish history, two inyanim come our way. Inyanim of Emunah and inyanim of Kedusha. Those are the points that we always struggle with at major turning points in history. Just like as Klal Yisrael are about to get the Torah, just as Klal Yisrael are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, major checkpoints in world history, in Jewish history, two inyanim come up. So too, says in the Nesivos Shalom, so too in the Ikras of the Mashiach. At the end of days, the two issues, and all you have to do is just look at the world with a little bit of an eye open, you'll see, he is so on the money. Emunah struggles, Kedusha struggles, look what's going on in the world. Look at the amount of losasur achrei levavchem zuminus, vachrei nechem zuznus. Push it all over the place. He says, "Lefnei Agula Ikaris Gaber Sayetzer Hu Biyuchad BeBeizin Yalam Elu BeEmunah Kedusha." Shezeu and Yisayon Achron. But you said we're fighting the final. It's the final Nisayon of world history. This is it. It's do or die. And he says the two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef is Keneged Kedusha, Yosef at Tzadik. Mashiach ben David Melech, the Ishamuna that he was, the Koch of Tfila, right? The Koch of Amuna. He says this is it. This is playing itself out on the grand stage. Tzadik ben munaso yichya, the Gemara Maseches Makos. You have to be a tzadik like Yosef a tzadik, and you have to have a munah. That's what it comes down to. Halacha l'maisa, that's the avoda for the end of days. The person has to say, I'm gonna ensure that we win this final battle. We got past it to get the Torah. We got past it to get into Eretz Yisrael. We're gonna find a way to conquer this Yetzara. We're gonna become the Baal HaBasa of our own lives. We're gonna decide what comes in. We're gonna take control of our inayim. We're gonna take control of our lev. So I'll end with a maisa. Maisa is told to Chassidus Rebbe one time. On a random night during the week, he told the entire kehillah, everyone has to gather in the shul. Everyone came to the shul at 7 p.m. And it was a big pacha, you know, there were pogroms, there was disease, there was exile, they were all scared. A big announcement, what's going to be? Comes to the shul, it's packed, it's quiet. The Rebbe walks up to the Aron Kodesh, opens the Aron, puts his hand on one of the Sifrei Torah, and he starts to cry. And he turns around to the kehillah and he says to them, if ever a day in your life goes by, when you don't feel that you have any sion, come to the shul, open up the Aron Kodesh, stick your head in between the Torahs, between the Sefer Torah, and cry your eyes out. And then say to the Rabbona Shalom, what did I do? What did I do that you've lost confidence in me, that you're not willing to test me with any sion? You know, we look at our nisyonos and say, Rabbona Shalom, what did I do to deserve this? You know what a bracha in a roundabout kind of way any sion is? But Isan means Hashem says, I trust you to finish a job. I trust you the same way I trusted the Jews at our Sinai to get the Torah, to overcome certain struggles at that point in history. And just like I trusted you to overcome certain melchamos against Midian in Rut Eretz Yisrael. Hashem turns to a handful of Jews who are interested in working on themselves, in the Nikvas of the Mashiach. And the Bono Shalom says, I'm giving you an Isan because I trust you. And if a day goes by without HaKadosh Baruch Hu testing you in these matters, maybe Hashem has given up on you. It's a very positive way to look at this Nisan. So Mirat Hashem, like we say every Shabbos, as we take out the Torah, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ki Ayin Ba'ayin, Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. Right, an eye for an eye. The Sfarim explained, the way that you see now is the way you're going to see when a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself to the world. If we want to be Zochet to see, and to really see, you know, to have eyes to see the coming of Mashiach, to have eyes to see Mal Aretz Deyas Hashem, to be worthy of seeing this Galus HaShechina that's again incumbent upon us to work towards fixing Le'inei Kol Yisrael, to fix again the original Pagam. Here we are in the days after Chanukah, where we're metaking our eyes, but to go weiter with this mission, to be worthy, to recognize that the Neshama resides in the eyes of man. It's the window to the Neshama. What's the proof that the eyes are the window to the Neshama? The Or Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak of Radvil, says, I'll bring you a Parshat proof. Or Yitzchak, Parshat Vayeshev, he says, you know what the proof is? V'arayah she'enayim e'makom ha'neshama ha'kadosha, sh'al kol evari ha'guf, k'she yipo aleya ma'at afar lo ichpas lam klo. If I take a piece of dirt, gashmias, artzias, and I put it in my mouth, it's not so pleasant, but it's not so terrible. Put a piece of dirt in your ear, put a piece of dirt on your head, right? Put a piece of dirt in any part of your body, it's not so bad. What happens when a speck of dirt gets in your eye? The smallest speck of dirt gets in your eye. Kamamish make you crazy the entire day. Why is that so? It can totally... Why? Because the eye is where your neshama is. It's the most sensitive part of our bodies. Ki ayin ba'ayin, if we want to be zocha, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzion, if we want to put the tzadi in front of the yavan, the yimid of Yosef at tzadik in front of the world of yavan, the world of znus, if we want to take the zayas, the pure yud within the zayin and the tuf, instead of the vavnun, the dragging down of kedusha, of spirituality. So we have to become, again, like we've said, become the Baal Abbas, Mirat Hashem, in the spirit of the Parsha Stuma in this week's Parsha. We should be zocha, again, in a very positive way. To be nistam einayim v'libam shel Yisrael, to close our eyes and to close our hearts, and to say to the Rabbona Sholem, we shouldn't be tested with such nisyonos, but the fact that you're testing us means you believe in us. And Mirat Hashem will make you very proud. We'll pass this final test in the ikfas of the Mashiach, and we'll be zocha to the Gula Shleim of Meher B'Yameinu. Amen.